If I was to ask you what happened just the week before Palm Sunday, or a few days before, or a couple, 3 weeks before Palm Sunday, many of you would probably say, I don't know. Palm Sunday was kind of a cool occasion. It was kind of one of those bam kinds of things that happened in the life of Jesus. And I remember Palm Sunday in the story here, but I'm not so sure what happened just before Palm Sunday, or for that matter, the following week. We know exactly what happened the following week, don't we? Good Friday and Easter. But it's a crazy title for the message this morning, but why don't we celebrate the week before Palm Sunday? Well, for one, as I said, maybe a lot of us don't even know what happened the week before Palm Sunday. You know, a lot of times when we look at our lives, we're looking for the pows and the big events and the major things, and we look forward to those, just like a kid looks forward to Christmas, or we look forward to a marriage, or we look forward to something big and major that goes on in our life, and we look forward to those things. But life is lived in the routine, isn't it? Life, for the most part, is just lived in the routine of the things that go on day after day after day after day, with every now and then something that happens that either is majorly a pleasant thing, or sometimes it becomes a majorly sad or difficult or crisis kind of thing in our life. And so I ask that question to really ask ourselves, where is it in our life that a majority of our growth oftentimes takes place? You know, what was going on the week before Palm Sunday in Jesus' life was the same things that were going on for those 3 years of public ministry that Jesus was doing. And a lot of it was filled with some pretty cool things, wasn't it? You know, he was healing and touching people's lives. He was saying wonderful things as the crowds would gather, and he was feeding the 5,000, and he was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he's doing a lot of awesome and wonderful things. But if you look at the Gospels, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to read through the Gospel. That's not 3 years worth of Jesus' ministry, is it? A lot of the things that we see are the pows, the bangs, the wow stuff that are going on. But all through those 3 years of ministry and that last week before Palm Sunday, Jesus spent his time loving people, teaching people, listening to people, rebuking, preparing. He found opportunities to do a whole lot of stuff. He ate and he slept. He played and he worked. One might say that it was routine for him. Life was routine. Now, I will grant you something as I share this morning, that Jesus' life wasn't quite as routine as ours is. He had this plan that God had given to him that was an absolutely magnificent plan. But he too lived amongst us and lived life oftentimes in the routine. And I want to ask ourselves a question this morning. When did the majority of growth in the disciples take place? You look at some of those powerful moments. You look at the one that's coming up here. Good Friday, where were they? They took off running. Didn't they? Was that really a time of immense growth in the life of the disciples when Jesus was crucified and they were hitting the road? Peter denied Christ 3 times. He couldn't hang around. I don't really think that a majority of their growth took place on Palm Sunday either, even though it was a high time. They didn't have a clue. They didn't. And if we were in that same boat, we wouldn't have a clue on Palm Sunday when Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they're like, hot diggity dog, we've been waiting for this for 3 years. And he's going to come in and eventually he's going to take over because, man, we're under Roman rule right now. And he's going to take the throne. And we're his disciples. Can't wait for this. That's probably what was happening on Palm Sunday to some degree. Even though Jesus had already told disciples more than once, I'm going to have to die. They forgot that, didn't they? I I don't think Palm Sunday was a time of immense growth for the disciples. I think it was an aha moment. It was this is cool moment kind of a thing. But I don't think that was really where a lot of their growth took place. Certainly didn't happen on Good Friday. They were running in fear. They took off and ran, most of them. I think where a majority of the growth in the disciples took place was in the routine relationship building that Jesus did with them over those years of ministry. And even when I look at the week before, just a few days before what happened in the triumphal entry, and look what's happening. We read about it here this morning in Matthew 20. They're arguing about who's going to be prominent in the kingdom of God. I want to be important. Now, it was a mother's request. She says, I want my son to be prominent in the kingdom of God. Other things that happened in that few days before the triumphal entry, Jesus taught that a tough time was coming. Those who are great must become servant of all. That was in the few verses following that, where Jesus said, look, I didn't come to be served. Now, he should have been served, right? Because he's Jesus. He's God's son. God come in human flesh. This was the King of kings and Lord of lords. Not knowing yet what that really meant, but he should have been. But no, he says, I didn't come here so that you would kowtow to me and be like, oh, isn't he awesome? He said he came what? To serve. Now, if Jesus came to serve, that ought to be something we ought to do as well. So he was teaching them actually in the routine of life. He was teaching them even in the request of the mother that I want my kids to be prominent in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, you know what? You've got it all messed up. That's not what it's all about. It's about serving. Sometimes it's best to be in the places of humble service, not in a place of prominence. Not many days before this triumphal entry, there was a rich man's request, how do I receive eternal life? And Jesus told him, make me number one, is what he really said. Make me number one. Not your wealth, not anything else. Make me number one. Put me on the throne. Chapter 19, just a chapter before this, not long before, he's talking to them about kids. They think kids were a problem and a nuisance. And he says, no, they are precious. And in fact, you need to come to me like the little children do in childlike faith. We forget that sometimes as adults, don't we? We complicate everything. We even complicate faith sometimes. And really, it's coming to him with the faith of a little child, trusting completely. Like I sometimes use the analogy when you stick your kid, and I've done it before, stick him on top of the refrigerator and you say, jump. Jump. Why do they jump? Because they trust me. Now, if they were up on top of the refrigerator and a total stranger said jump, they may not jump. One, because they're probably scared of the total stranger that's sitting there. But they wouldn't trust them like they'd trust their parent. And we can trust our heavenly parent. We can trust, as I sometimes say, our heavenly daddy. I like to call him my heavenly daddy because that's such an intimate term. When your kid would say to you, father, that's kind of, they aren't saying it as a term of endearment, are they? But when they say daddy or mommy, that's a term of endearment. Here we are in chapter 19. The routine of life, Jesus is teaching his disciples about how they ought to be. And he uses little children as example. You see, Jesus taught in the routine. Lives were changed oftentimes in the routine. Sometimes it takes the crisis. It takes the big thing to shake our life. But life is lived in the routine. Life was lived before Palm Sunday. Life was lived for several years before that by the disciples. And that was so that they would be prepared, even though they didn't pass with flying colors early on, so that they could be prepared for what was going to happen. And, you know, oftentimes in the routine of our lives, I think Jesus is trying to help us and trying to teach us how we can live our lives so that when the tough stuff does come, you and I are ready for the tough stuff. Because we've been living with Him in the routine of life. My favorite text of Scripture is in Proverbs chapter 3. The first two verses of the text that was read by Ginny this morning were the first two verses that my mom and dad put in our Bibles when they gave us Bibles when we were kids. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your paths straight. Did you hear what was said in that second verse? It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Not in the tough stuff only. Not in the high times only. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything that's going on in your life, acknowledge Him. That's why I think it's important to do the little things in life. Little things like when you sit down with a family for a meal, or you sit down even in a McDonald's or at a restaurant, and before you eat, it is good to sit and first of all say, God, thank you. Thank you for food. Thank you for providing for me. It's good to just take a moment to acknowledge that. Even in the mundane and in the routine of life, it's good to acknowledge that, because we're living in Him in the routine things of life, so that when the tougher stuff of life goes on, we're ready. We're ready. Because the huge majority of our life is lived in the routine. In all our ways. We need to lean on Him and lean on His understanding to make our routine life productive. We need to lean on Him to make our routine life productive. And what do I mean by productive? God honoring, God glorifying, God reflecting is the way our life ought to be in the routine. Because you see, it's easy for you and I to come in on Sunday morning. In churches all around the world, we can come in on Sunday morning and we can play the part here. You know, if you're one of those loud churches, you can amen everything the pastor says. You do it here, I go too long, so you don't do it very often. But you know, we can come to church and we can act the part really well, can't we? And when Jesus' name is used in church, it's in a positive context. What happens the rest of the week? How do we live our life the rest of the week with our spouse, with our kids, with our neighbors, at work, or wherever it is? How do we live our life in the routine the rest of the week? We need to lean on His understanding to make the routine productive. Use God's wisdom. Honor Him with our wealth, as it says even later on here. And don't despise His discipline. Those are all parts of how God helps us deal with life in the routine, so that our life reflects Him in some very powerful kinds of ways. Do you want to make an impact with your life? You'll do it more in the routine than anything else. I'll grant you something, a little caveat here. Sometimes it is in the crisis where people can see a faith tested, it's proved genuine. There's no doubt that oftentimes in crisis, people will look at how we deal with it. And it can be a very positive thing, or sometimes it can be a very negative thing. But you and I live a majority of our lives in the routine. And people can see in the routine of life how genuine our faith may very well be, because that's where they're living with us, is in the routine of life. Don't live your life for the mountaintops and the glory moments. They'll come just like the valleys and the dark times will come too. Because you see, if you live your life in the routine as people who are counting on Him and living in relationship with Him through Christ, then when those kinds of experiences happen, we're ready. Don't just live for those moments, but live each day for the glory of God. Every day for the glory of God. Every moment for the glory of God. Now, I think if we're living that way, that's worth celebrating. Just like the week before Palm Sunday is worth celebrating, because there were some lessons learned the week before Palm Sunday by the disciples. There are lessons learned by you and I in the routine of what goes on in our life and the routine of relationships with other people. We learn how to live. And hopefully we're learning more and more how to live the right way. But I am so grateful to God that He takes me and He takes you and He says, you know, Dave, you blew it this time. He says, but I forgive you. Now let's learn from that so that the next time you can honor me. And aren't you grateful that we have a God who doesn't say it's one chance or two and you're out? He says to forgive 77. I'm so grateful that I have a God who's like that, a God that doesn't base His love for me on my performance. He's just grace-filled, like we talked about a few weeks ago, isn't He? So I want to encourage you and I as we move into Palm Sunday next week, and it's worth celebrating. And then we move to Good Friday. You know, why is it more people show up in a service on Easter Sunday than we do on Good Friday? I know why. Easter's like, I use it again, hot diggity dog. He rose from the dead. He's out of the tomb, and it's like, He's my Savior. Woohoo! But Good Friday, crap. He died because of me. And He died because of you. So we don't like to do the Good Friday thing, but I'll tell you what, the Good Friday thing makes Easter all the more powerful, doesn't it? It does. It does. So folks, I just want to encourage you and me to live for Christ in the routine of life. Celebrate the routine of life, because a lot of growing up goes there in the routine of life. Just like sometimes these moments and these crises in our life can do the same thing. It can give us a jump start. But that jump start has to live through a bunch of routine of life, doesn't it? Sometimes that jump start lasts for the moment, and it's like I'm on fire for Him right now at the moment. But then as the routine continues on, it gets flattened a little bit, because I'm not living every day leaning on Him so that the routine of my life will be productive. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for...